Jesus taught us when we pray to address God as our Father. And it was a very radical relationship that he was talking about having with God. It was unique, this relationship that he had with God as his Father. And then the amazing thing is that he then invited us into that same kind of relationship with the Father. We're going to spend the weekend talking about this idea of God being our Father and us being his sons and the impact that that has on our lives. Our personal concept of Father is influenced by the relationship that we have with our human fathers. So I want to spend some time in this very first session tonight talking about that father-son relationship that we had with our own fathers and how that has had an impact on us. In the next sessions tomorrow, we're going to use a familiar story from our own culture as a parable of the father-son relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. And then in the final session, we'll be talking about imitating our Heavenly Father, the practical outworking of being a son and being a father under the fatherhood of God. It's not so much true in our own day, but in Bible days, you guys will remember probably that every person, they got their identity from their father. I mean, if you think about the patriarchs, I mean, Abraham was their father. And they always look back at to their father Abraham, even generations later. But they always refer back to their father Abraham. And Abraham and then Moses and all the patriarchs, they got all of their identity about who they are from Abraham and his relationship with God and what his... that God made this promise to him of the land and all of this. So it's all tied back to their father is where they got their identity. And the same thing is true for us. We don't use those terminology and phrases so much in our own day because our families are so fractured and broken in different ways. But we still are tied to our father. And he is who we got our identity from. And then when we come to Christ, we're given a new identity because we're given a new father and we get our identity from this new father. So we'll be talking about that soon. But the title of this first session that I have is Me and My Dad. And I'm going to use the term father to refer to the person that you consider your father, whether that person was your biological father or not. I mean, some of you have had more than one human father. Some of you didn't have any father present in the home at all when you grew up. You were raised by your mother, no father at all. Some of you were abandoned, some of you were adopted, some of you were raised by your grandfather maybe. Whatever your situation may be, I'm asking you to connect the dots on the things that we're going to be talking about and make it applicable to your own life situation, whoever this father figure was in your life. See, for better or for worse, we all have had a human father. How do you remember your father? Do you have good memories of your father? Do you have bad memories of your father? Maybe you don't have any memories of a father. What words would you use if you were to describe the relationship that you have with your father? Some of you had and have a great relationship with your human father. I mean, when you think of your father, good memories come to mind for you. You remember perhaps how your father wrestled with you on the living room floor, played catch with you, or coached your little league team, or took you fishing and camping, gave you good advice about life, encouraged you when you felt beat down, protected you, was someone that you could always talk to, someone that you could always count on. Your father is one of your heroes. Some of us didn't and don't have good relationships with our human father. when we think of our father, we might have some good memories, but there are a lot of bad memories too. There's pain that begins to bubble up to the surface when we think about our father. Maybe you remember your father being distant and detached from you and the rest of the family. Maybe you remember your father being drunk or stoned most of the time. Maybe you remember your father being mostly angry all of the time. Maybe you don't remember your father telling you that he loved you, or that he was proud of you, or that you were good at anything. Maybe you can't even remember your father. Maybe he left when you were too young to remember and he never came back. Something that's true for all of us, regardless of the kind of human father that we had, is that our human father has had a significant impact on our life. I mean, that's true even for those of you who had a father who was entirely absent from your life. See, because the impact might be that your father was never in your life, and that fact has left you resentful and bitter in a deep place in your life. So maybe that's his impact on you. But it's a significant impact, isn't it? Well, I want to start by having us take a look at an example of a father's impact on his son's life from the movie Walk the Line. And for the benefit of those of you who may not be familiar with the film Walk the Line, it's a film about the life of Johnny Cash. And the part of the film that I want to share with you are a couple of short clips that focus on the relationship that Johnny Cash had with his father. This first clip, it takes place when Johnny Cash was 12 years old. And so that you'll know which of the two boys in this clip is who, Johnny's nickname when he was a kid was J.R. And his brother's name was Jack. So J.R. is Johnny Cash, and Jack is his brother.
Mr. Coles gave me a dollar to cut the whole pile and not half. Go on ahead, JR. Catch a fish.
A worm on a hook. And drop it in a brook. If things go right, you'll fry some fish tonight.
Where you been? Where you been? Pull that pole now. Get in the car. Get in the car.
Them angels.
I can hear them, Jack.
Don't They're so beautiful. Jack, do something! Do something!
You know what that is, JR? You know what that is coming out of there?
Stop it, Ray.
Nothing. Nothing. That's what that is. That's what that's worth. And that's what you are.
Leave him alone, Ray. He didn't do this.
The devil did this! He took the wrong son! He was the best, and now he's gone.
Don't leave me alone.
Ray.
Quiet! Quiet! Everybody, quiet!
After Jack had been killed, and they obviously had the funeral, and the father was in the house there, this is what he said. So you know what that is, J.R., when he took that hand down off the show. He said, nothing. Nothing. That's what that is. That's what that's worth. And that's what you are. Mother said, leave him alone, Ray. He didn't do this. My father said, the devil did this. He took the wrong son. He was my best, and now he's gone. Words can injure us deeply, can't they? The things said to us can be replayed in our head again and again, and every time they're played, they re-injure us, just like it was the first time. And words can stay with us for years, for a lifetime. And it's unfortunate that the words that want to stick in our memories the longest and the strongest so often are the hurtful ones, aren't they? Well, in the second clip that we're going to show, hopefully you'll be able to figure out what's going on here. Johnny Cash is now a grown man. He's had some experience in life. He has experienced some success as a musician now. He's making a lot of money. He's achieved a certain amount of fame. And the scene takes place at this new house in this large plot of land that Johnny has just purchased and moved into. And he's invited his family and the family of June Carter to celebrate Thanksgiving at his new house. Okay?
It is beautiful.
Really looking.
Really proud of.
You see, it goes from right up there, clear across, halfway around the lake.
Yeah.
What's going on down there with that tractor?
I got it stuck. I was trying to pull out the stump, and I cut the incline.
Doing something dangerous.
Yeah, but...
That's a fine piece of equipment to leave sinking in that mud. Is that the way you take care of these things?
Hey! Hey,
John.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
here, Curly.
Oh, happy John. I like this place out here.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Rosie. Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Let's go over and meet John's.
House is beautiful.
Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Hey, how you folks? John, how you doing?
Let me help you out.
Oh, thank you, Carrie.
Mother Mary, that's my mama, Carrie.
Bill Carter, happy to meet you.
This is my daddy, Ray.
How you doing? How you doing? Good to meet you.
My mama, Carrie.
How you do?
Carrie's going to cook for y'all, but J.R., he doesn't have a pot or a pan, so...
Well, we're more than happy to share our food with you folks.
I just moved in, you know.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Come on, come
on, if you're going to get out on some big water like lakes or a river, you're going to need something that you can cast out there in pretty good ways. Now, if you haven't got one yet, what I'm going to tell you is you need to get you a Zebco 33. That's about the best reel that you can get. They don't tangle up very much, and you can cast them about as far as you want to throw them. Of course, around the house there, them little farm ponds, you don't need nothing but a cane pole and a float and maybe some crickets or worms if you can dig them up.
That's all we ever had.
The Zebco 33 is probably your best bet. I bought June one when she was about 12 years old. You remember that?
That's right. I caught a lot of fish for
her. Uh-huh. You sure did.
So what do you think, Daddy?
About what?
About the house.
It's a fine big house, John.
It's not as big as Jack Benny's.
Well, you been to Jack Benny's, right?
Saw it on the TV.
Gary, I was meaning to ask you, did you teach the boys to play?
Well, JR always sang pretty, but I don't think I could take credit for it.
I bet you did. I bet you learned the same way I did.
Oh, out of the hymnals. Sure.
I knew you'd say that. But you know, you'd be surprised how many musicians can't read shape notes nowadays.
I can't imagine.
I know. But my husband's uncle, Ian Bays, he taught me with hymnals, too. How about you, John? You know how to read shape notes?
John. Mama asked you a question, John.
I'm really glad you all could be here today. Especially you, Daddy. Glad he came. The dinner, you know, Thanksgiving and all. Not everybody's here. Jack's not here, is he? Huh? Where have you been? That's what she said to me, remember? I was 12 years old. He's got Jack's bloody clothes. And you said to me, where you been?
Well, where were you?
Where are you?
Quit drinking a long time ago, JR. What about you? You still taking them pills? That'll kill you, you know.
Yeah, well, so will a car wreck.
You sitting on a high horse, boy. I never had talent. I did the best I could with what I had. Can you say that? Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Pill-popping rock star.
Ray.
Who are you to judge? You ain't got nothing. Big empty house, nothing. Children you don't see, nothing. Big old expensive tractor stuck in the mud, nothing.
It's obvious from the very first moment in that second clip that the relationship between Johnny and his father are still not very good, I think. And then there's that very final scene where Johnny says, I'm really glad you could all be here today, especially you, Daddy. Glad you came. And there's this long pause. And he says, not everybody's here. Jack's not here, is he? Huh. Where have you been? That's what you said to me. Remember? I was 12 years old. He's got Jack's bloody clothes. And you said to me, where have you been? And his father, well, where were you? And he said, where were you? And his dad says, who are you to judge? You ain't got nothing. A big empty house, nothing. Children you don't see, nothing. Big old expensive tractor stuck in the mud, nothing. Do you remember what his father said to him when he was a boy after his brother's death? He told him he was nothing. And now, years later, his father speaks the same words to him again, telling him he's nothing. All those years, Johnny had carried that pain with him. He so desperately wanted his father to validate him. He wanted his father to say that he was proud of him. He asked his father what he thought about the house. It was, you know, a symbol of his accomplishment. His father refused to acknowledge it. He demeaned Johnny at every turn. Those clips might bring up some painful memories from your own life, and they certainly do for me. But I want to encourage you and remind you that you have a new father who's perfect. He's the father that you've always hoped for. We'll be talking about our new father this weekend. It's a little bit ironic that Johnny Cash, one of his biggest hits, was based on a poem by Shel Silverstein called A Boy Named Sue. I'm sure some of you guys remember that song. It is an interesting account of a father-son relationship. Let me read the poem to you. My daddy left home when I was 3. And he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid. But the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that's quite a joke. And it got a lot of laughs from a lot of folk. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red. And some guy'd laugh. And I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard and my wits got keen. I'd roam from town to town to hide my shame. But I made a vow to the moon and stars that I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man who gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July. And I just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my old sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother had. And I knew that scar in his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old. And I looked at him, and my blood ran cold. And I said, "My name is Sue. How do you do? Now you're going to die." Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes. And he went down, but to my surprise, he'd come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth. And he crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh, and then I heard him cuss. He went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me, and I saw him smile. And he said, "Son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I knew I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped make you strong." He said, "Now you just fought one heck of a fight. And I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now. And I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye. Because I'm the dirty dog that named you Sue. I got all choked up and I threw down my gun. And I called him my pa and he called me his son. I came away with a different point of view. And I think about it now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm going to name him Bill or George, anything but Sue. I still hate that name. I think one of the things that make that poem and that song so popular is that it reminds us a lot of our own relationships with our dads in ways that might not be the name to Sue, but there's that awkward help that Dad gave us that helped us in an awkward way when we look back on it.
So in closing tonight, for those of you who have good memories of your father, if you have not done it before or you've not done it in a while, I want to ask that you would tell your father. Let him know how much you appreciate him. I know it would be a huge blessing for him to hear that from you. Speaking as a father now, say I'm a dad too now, and I desire to be a good father, and I work hard at trying to be a good father. And words can't express what a blessing it is to hear from your child that they're proud of you as a father, that they recognize and they appreciate the sacrifices that you have made for them, that they love you and they consider you one of their heroes. I mean, you know, for a father, there's nothing better, right? So if you feel like that about your father, tell him, okay? Bless your father with that. Now, for those of you who don't have good memories of your father, you had a bad relationship with him, you have a bad relationship with him, you feel like you carry around a lot of pain from your childhood that your father is associated with, I want to encourage you to work at coming to a place where you can forgive your father. It's not good for you to carry around bitterness and resentment. It poisons our soul. And I know it'll take time. I know it takes a lot of work for you to get to that place, but make that your goal. Aim for that and put the work in to get there. It's worth it for you. And the Lord wants you to get to that place. Our human fathers have had a significant impact on our lives, for good or for bad. But that isn't the end of the story for the person who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and they're in this new relationship with God through Christ. Because we have a new father. We have a perfect father. We have the same father that Jesus does. You think about that. God is our new father. And he's making you into the image of his son Jesus. Our human father was a human being, just like us. He had failings and shortcomings, just like us. We may have hoped when we were little kids that he was superhuman and heroic, but he was just a man like us. But you have a new father who really is perfect and who really is a superhero. The God of creation is your father, and he loves you beyond all that you can imagine. You are a son of the king. You're now a co-heir with your brother Jesus. Our new father is the one that we follow now. He's the one that we take our cues from. He's the one that we get our sense of worth from. He's the one that we get our identity from. He's the one that we want to make proud of us. He's the one that we want to please. He's the one we go to for affirmation. He's the one that we look to as our provider and our protector. He's the one who makes us secure and safe and brave. I want to give you guys just one kind of an assignment. You know, it's optional. I don't want to make you guys do anything that you don't want to do, but I want to encourage you to share your story about you and your dad with someone else here sometime this weekend, or maybe get together with a small group of other guys, you know, and share your story. It doesn't have to be a bad story. You might have had a great relationship with your father. That's a good story to share, too. I mean, we want to hear those stories, too. It helps all of us to know what a father can be, should be. We learn from that as fathers ourselves, and it helps us to understand our Heavenly Father better when we hear good stories, too. But, you know, if you got a bad story, that's a good story to share, too, because you got to get that off your chest, you know? So your brothers can walk with you about it. And there's fun. It's something funny about, you know, sharing your story. You kind of work through stuff. You know, it's not like anyone needs to give you any advice. It's just in the act of telling your story, there's a healing that takes place in that. And those of you who've done it, you know what I'm talking about. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that this weekend with some of your brothers here.